Consumers to the rescue. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Consumers have woken up. U.S. retail sales jumped 1.6%, the most since September of 2017. Sales of new cars and trucks bumped up 3.1%. And on top of that, the number of people filing for unemployment benefits in the second week of April fell to 192,000. Diane Swonk is chief economist with tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton and joins us. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
U.S. retail sales jumped by a significant amount. We needed that, huh?
Yes, we absolutely did. We had really awful December through February retail spending. We needed consumers to come back at the end of the quarter and show some momentum going into the second quarter, that spring really does matter. And there is a little more spring in their step, too, because they actually went out to dinner and to drinking places a little bit more, which was some discretionary spending, which was much needed after a really cold winter.
But a lot of this was in motor vehicle sales and gas sales.
Exactly. We saw motor vehicle purchases picked up after a real downtrend at the beginning of the year, mostly in those really expensive SUVs, actually almost entirely in that. And so that moved up core retail sales, which strip out those volatile gasoline station and motor vehicle and parts sales, did come in solid 0.9%. And that is important because that goes into our consumer spending numbers. Again, mixed bag, you know, sporting goods and hobby stores and bookstores not doing very well.
Also, the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits in the middle of the month fell for the fifth week in a row, a 50-year low almost, 192,000 people. What do you make of that?
It's really not a good thing to look at that number historically, because it's sort of like apples and oranges, because more people were eligible for unemployment in the past. So at any unemployment level, you would have had more people able to actually apply for unemployment insurance when they lost a job, where today you're not.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Things are not looking good for the world's largest mobile phone operator, China Mobile, and its bid to expand into the U.S. Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai says he will vote against a request from the Chinese telecom giant to start operating here. The company was hoping to offer its services to people in the U.S. who wanted to call abroad. Federal officials say that would jeopardize national security. It's the same argument that the Trump administration has made to justify preventing Huawei from installing infrastructure for 5G phone service. Marketplace's Renata Sego has more.
The rapidly expanding China Mobile wants to expand even faster, and setting up in the U.S. could help that. The thing is, says Baron Zoka, who heads the policy firm Tech Freedom, is that China Mobile is China government-owned, which means
the Chinese intelligence agencies could just tap the calls.
And even if the calls weren't being recorded, China Mobile would still have call records, so
all of that call information would be subject to easy access by Chinese law enforcement.
China Mobile asked the FCC to let it provide service between the U.S. and abroad back in 2011. But Sean Ryan with China Market Research Group says this is not so much about security than it is about containing China's telecommunications growth.
Because whoever controls the global telecom standards and equipment in the future is going to control the world.
The agency's commission is set to formally vote on China Mobile's application in May. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
My name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Georgia's legislature has voted to limit abortion. Georgia's legislature also wants to attract TV and movie production to the state with tax incentives. It may have trouble doing both. The governor supports the abortion bill, but hasn't yet signed it into law. And actors and others in the entertainment industry are raising concerns, even protesting. And other states see an opening to lure entertainment business away. Susanna Capoluto with WABE in Atlanta reports.
An actress known for her roles in TV shows like Who's the Boss and Charmed recently stood before reporters in the halls of the Georgia State Capitol.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
My name is Alyssa Milano. I work here in Georgia.
Milano was there to protest the so-called heartbeat bill. It prohibits abortions when a pulse is detected in an embryo, which is at about 6 weeks. The actress is currently here working on the Netflix series Insatiable.
And we will do everything in our power to move our industry to a safer state for women if HB 481 becomes the law.
Milano was delivering a letter to Governor Brian Kemp that was signed by about 100 actors and directors. They are threatening not to work in Georgia anymore. Kemp told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that he's not worried about what Hollywood thinks. Other states, Michigan, Illinois, and New Jersey, were quick to send out signals that they'd welcome Georgia's movie business.
It's a very mobile industry.
Joseph Chianese is with Entertainment Partners, which manages payroll and finances for film companies. So far, no production has signaled it would leave Georgia. But Chianese says movie makers have choices.
If you haven't already invested a lot of money in pre-production and building of stages, you could make a quick decision and go to another location as long as there's stages available and crew available.
Georgia has become one of the top movie-making states by developing local crews and building studio space. The state says the industry now supports more than 92,000 jobs. That's why people like Phoebe Brown expressed their worry at the state capitol.
I own a prop rental business, and I've worked in the industry. If we lose the entertainment business here, my business will not function without it.
Unlike some states, Georgia has no cap on its film tax credits. In 2017, those credits amounted to $800 million for films shot in Georgia. In Atlanta, I'm Susanna Capoluto for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.